we're going to look at the Word of God together. We're going to look at just one passage of Scripture. It's Genesis chapter number 17. And for the sake of time, let's look right at it. Genesis 17, I've got my NIV and the King James Version open together. And in verse number 1, it says, when Abram, soon to be named Abraham, in this chapter, was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I'm God Almighty. I want you to walk before me and be blameless, and I'll confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. And in verse 3, it says, Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be a father of many nations. Verse 9, then God said to Abram, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for generations to come. Oh my God, title of my message tonight. I'm going to get all into this, but the title of the devotional tonight is The Confirmation, Circumcision. The Confirmation, Circumcision. Bow your head, let me pray. God, I pray that you'll have your way in us tonight. God, I pray as I start my timer, as we take 30, 35 minutes or so to shut everything out, to move away all of the distractions, to set aside everything, every weight, and every sin that would so easily entangle. And as we run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, God, have your way. Around the world, have your way. Somebody's worried, have your way. Around the world, move by your spirit. Somebody's concerned, God, meet and touch every need. God, I thank you that you said the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. So God, before we even look at your word, for just a minute, we ask you, have your God-like way in us. Kingdom of God, come. Touch us with the power of the scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said together, amen, amen. Circumcision, confirmation, circumcision, confirmation, the circumcision. If I can draw your attention to Genesis chapter number 17 in verse 1, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, one of the things that we often don't like to talk about when it comes to Abram, Abraham, Sarah, is how long they waited. Anybody waiting for any length of time? Anybody at a point where they say, Pastor, I don't know if I can wait any longer. I've been trusting, I've been believing, and my God, I'm learning to wait. I know learning to wait is difficult, especially today. We are so used to everything so quick. We are used to everything so fast. I've given this example before, but it's just so apropos. We are just used to everything yesterday. We are used to everything quick, fast, and in a hurry. But there was a time when you had to wait for something quality. A few weeks ago, I was on a little bit of a vacation. My wife took me away to the mountains, and my daughter Kayla was with us. And my daughter Kayla, she's just an amazing person. She's a superstar. And like many of her cohorts, many of the people within her world, her generation, within her oikos, in her group, they're foodies. They're particular. My daughter's very particular, and she's smart, and she's got it together, and she just don't eat everything. She just don't eat all the common swill and just the ordinary fare. She's particular, and there was quite a few times, my God, when we were on this trip, my Jesus, in which we found ourselves in lines and waiting on food. There was this one particular place she wanted us to go to in Asheville, North Carolina. Don't even ever been there. But there was a place there, I think it's called Holes or something like that. Holes, some kind of donut spot. And she wanted us to go there. And I think we were there. Joshua Sissel, the greatest worship leader in the whole nation, was there with us. My God. And we had decided to go to this donut place. We went there, but the line was so long that I bound and rebuked that place, and we ended up leaving. But the next day I felt bad because Kayla's my baby. And so I was like, all right, let me get these donuts. And so I I got on my phone. I ordered ahead. I ordered at about 9:15. Then I put the GPS in. I drove down to this place, Holes, I think it's called. Somebody tell me this. I think it's called Holes. Anyway, I went down there. It took me about 15 minutes to get there. I figured that in the 15 minutes it took me to get there, the donuts would be ready, and I just asked for an assortment, and I went down there. But when I got there and saw the line, then when I looked at my phone, I realized that they gave me a pickup time of 10:25. I ordered the donuts at about 9. They gave me a pickup time of 10:25. Now I'm there at 9:30, and I realize I'm gonna have to wait for an hour to get these donuts. What's my point? My Lord, my God. I asked myself, how much do I love this girl named Kayla? How much do I love this family? But I got on the phone. I called some people. I sat patiently. Then I finally went up, and I was the only black person there. My God, and they looked at me strange when I came through, and I said, black people do eat some donuts. And so they said, Gilbert Thompson, that's my official name. Y'all know me as Pastor Andy. And they gave me the box of donuts. They gave me some napkins. I got in the car. I drove back to our little spot. When I got there, walked in, Kayla was not expecting it. And she was so excited. And I made my daughter happy. Her mama came out and said, what is the ruckus? And I said, I brought Holes donuts back. And we were excited. We opened up the box. We took a bite. And oh, the glory of his presence. We, your people, give you reverence. So arise from your doughy rest. My God, quite possibly the best donut I ever been into. I was so glad I was patient. Anybody waiting? My God. Anybody saying, listen, I've been waiting for a while. Anybody say, I ordered and it's not coming when I wanted to, but it was right on time. And it even surprised some people, but God, this blessing was so amazing. It was worth the wait. That I sound like I'm preaching supposed to be devotions. I'm sorry. But that's what we see happening with Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. He is almost 100 years old after promises, after words. My God. Oh, I'm trying to keep myself calm. I know I'm not the only one who has had words and heard messages and stuff has been spoken to you, and you got excited and shouted and hollered, and now here's another word that comes. Every time I go back to the church that I'm a part of now with my Bishop Jakes, every time I'm there and he preaches a word, I tell folk, and they sit me on the stage, but I say to them, listen, don't be surprised if I go to the altar and get saved when I come to church. That all of the words that I've heard, and yet and still, I'm still waiting. My God, I'm still waiting. That's Abraham. That's Abram in Genesis chapter 17. He's 99. And God appears to him and says, guess what? I got news for you. Guess what? I'm appearing to you again. Guess what? I'm about to blow your mind. And he says to him, I got something for you, and it's the first blessing, and it's my first point. I think you're making it, you're hearing me make it, and that is when I look at Genesis 17, I see confirmation after a time. I see waiting and then a confirmation. I see waiting and then God confirming something. The Lord appears and says, I made some promises. I've told you some stuff I was going to do. Now, I want to confirm this thing. Now, I want there to be some proof. I want you to have something that you can hold in your hand. I want you to have something that you can know. I want you to have something so you can say, okay, I know this is mine. I know I've got it. I remember when the whole world, as it went digital, you know, and at first, I don't want to sound too old. I know the OG, the gray hairs are here, but when I was gone, I did a lot of traveling before this COVID-19, and I'm starting to do some more traveling again, quite a bit. But when the digital age first came, especially with this phone, when I would go to the airport, I would say, just print me out a ticket. Print me out my boarding pass. They would say, well, did you download it on the app? I'd be like, look, print out my board. I wanted to hold the paper in my hand. To me, it was like a confirmation. It was a ticket. It took me a minute to make the leap to realize there's a barcode I can get right on my phone. I can scan it. I can go. Because there was something about holding it tangibly in my hand. Something about a confirmation. Something about a confirmation after time. My God, can I speak that over your life tonight in our devotional? Can I just speak may God confirm his word with signs following. May you have faith like Abram, and after a period of time, may God confirm his word to you. This is about a confirmation, and anyone who's believing God for something is looking for confirmation. Anybody who's believing God for a miracle is looking for confirmation. Anybody that's looking for God to do something in their life, you're looking for, when you're desperate for God, when you're desperate for your miracle, you are looking for the slightest little provocation of any kind of confirmation so that you can have confidence and know that what you're believing God for shall come to pass. I love the fact that Genesis 17, God shows up. Abram's 99 years old. Abram don't got no kind of attitude. Abram said, Lord, as long as you bless me, whatever you gonna do, do it. The confirmation came. When I look at the confirmation, when I look at it, there's just so much that comes to mind. And let me just share them with you really quickly. And the guys will try to throw it on the screens for you, because I'm just looking at the word, and I got a few things written down, but we're just devotional together. And the guys will try to keep up with me tonight as I share this with you. But you have to give them a second. They're going to type it in there as quickly as possible. But if you're taking notes, let me just show you a few things. Number one, I've already made the first point, and that's number one, that he's 99 years old. And that just makes me excited that it's never too late. It's never too late. I know I'm not the only one saying, well, Lord, is it too late? No, it's never too late. If you 50, then Abram got you beat. If you 35, Abram got you beat. If you 27, slow your roll, calm yourself. Abraham's got you beat. If you 65 years old, Abram's got you beat. If you 72, Abram's got you beat. He's 99, and it's never too late for God. He's 99, and God is still able to move. He's 99. And God still has a word for him, because it's never too late. The second thing is that the Lord says to him, I'm going to confirm my covenant. So that I'm going to give you confirmation. I made that point already. But the third thing is that it's a confirmation of the covenant. Is that what we want? I think a lot of us want a confirmation of our miracle. We want a confirmation of our blessing. We want a confirmation of our breakthrough. We want a confirmation that we'll survive. We want a confirmation that we will live and not die. And I want to speak that over your life, that this cancer will not take you out. This COVID-19 respiratory issue will not take you out. That sickness cannot have you. That lack cannot have you. That poverty cannot have you. That despair cannot have you. That suicide cannot have you. That anxiety cannot have you. That sleeplessness cannot have you. I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. And I speak life over you and not death. Blessings and not cursings. But is that all you want? Is that it? Do you just want your blessing? Abraham gets this appearance from God, and God says, I'm here to confirm something. I'm not just here to confirm your breakthrough. I'm not just here to confirm your promise. I'm not just here to confirm your miracle. I'm not just here to confirm you're going to have a husband. I'm not just here to confirm you will survive. I'm here to give you a confirmation of the covenant. I think one of the biggest things that we need to understand about God, and I know I'm trying to understand him just like you, is that God is more about covenant than he is even about blessing. The blessing's great, but God is a covenant-making God and a covenant-keeping God. I recently have decided, I've got some new covenants that I have to make. I can't reap the blessing without making that covenant. This person that I'm making this covenant with, it's there. It's like when I was talking to him, he's just like, you're trying to get me to make some commitments. I said, yeah, because there's some things I expect. Bro, I know there's some things that you expect. And praise God for those things. Praise God for the blessings. One of my newest sons, young, powerful preacher. I mean, anointed. I haven't even let some of my new young guys, you ain't even heard these guys yet. Y'all are hearing Brian, who's anointed, and Manny, who's anointed. But I got some young kids that are coming up, and I haven't let them on the stage yet. And it's not because I don't think there's a blessing for them, or I don't think that the ministry will be blessed, or the world will be blessed, or the kingdom will be blessed. But it's because we got some covenant work to do first. We got some agreements to make first. We got some rings to put on first. We got some vows to make to one another first. We've got some commitments to make to one another first, because the confirmation is a confirmation of the covenant. God says, look, I'm here to confirm my covenant. Now I'm going to greatly increase your number. I'm going to do a bunch of stuff for you. You know I'm going to bless you. But what I want to confirm tonight is the covenant. And before I say another word, can I just say that we cannot get blessing without covenant. I know we've become this world that we just want blessing at our time, on our moment, and our season, and at our time schedule. I'm all with you. We want to watch shows when we want to watch them. And we're not used to waiting for it to come on. We want to binge watch the thing. I'm right there with you. But there is something about God and agreements, and God and covenants, and God and making a commitment to one another. What God wants from you is a commitment. What you want from him is a commitment. You think you just want your miracle, but what you really want is the miracle worker. You think you just want the gift, but that's not what you want. You want the gift giver. Once you get the giver of the gifts, you always get gifts. It's the covenant. And what Abraham says, what God says to Abraham is, he says, listen, what I'm about to do is I'm about to confirm my covenant with you. And in verse 3, Abram falls face down. And God says, okay, we're going to make an agreement. We're going to make an agreement. There's almost nothing worse than making an agreement and breaking it. Recently was counseling a couple, and at this point, it doesn't look like they're going to make it. And a part of it is because they entered into the relationship with a certain amount of agreements. That this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. Okay, bet. They got married. And then in the very beginning of the covenant, one of them reneged on the agreement. And now the covenant is inviolate. The covenant now has been violated. It's been broken. I know we just want marriages to last forever, but at some point, we have to understand there is a side to the thing. There's an agreement that is made. And God is talking that kind of talk. Can we hear it? Can we just stop trying to get everything for free? Can we join? Can we be members? Can we stop just getting everything on somebody else's passcode? Can we actually commit? The Lord says to Abram, and I want to lay him out because I think they apply to us. And God says in verse 3, and I love that God is talking like this. God says, look, as for me, this is my covenant with you. Meaning, this is going to be my side. I love the fact that God starts with his side. I know I've said this before, but I'm saying it again. I had a teacher in Bible school back at Rhema, a guy named Doug Jones, probably one of the best teachers there. He used to say to us, you teach the God side first, then you teach the man side. It makes the God side makes the man side a whole lot easier. You know Doug Jones. You told him I shouted him out. But he says, God says in verse 4, as for me, this is my side. Let me lay out what my side of this thing is going to be. And I want us to take them and really apply them. And I'm going to number them out for you, and the guys are going to keep up with me. He says, number one, as for me, this is my covenant. Number one, you'll be the father of many nations. So the first part of God's covenant, the first part of God's agreement is family power. I've been making this point almost all year. Family power, many nations, help on earth. God is saying, look, I'm your God, I got you, but I want you to have some people that are your blood. I want you to have some people that are your culture. I want you to have some people that look like you. I want you to have some people that are the same color as you. I want you to have some people that speak the same language as you. I want you to have some people that speak the same dialect as you. I didn't make everybody to be exactly the same. And I want you to be able to live and look and see folk who have eyes like you and skin color like you and a voice like yours and hair like yours and a language like yours, so you can be comfortable and confident amongst your own people. And I'm going to give you strength within your own people. And I'm not going to let anybody divide you from your own people. I'm going to give you family power. I'm going to give you help in the earth, so that you're not always praying and at the whims of your enemies. I'm going to unite you together and give you power amongst your own people. Then in verse 5, he said, no longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. That's the second thing, a new name. My God. God says, I'm going to give you a new name. God says, when I get done with you, folk ain't going to recognize you. When I get done with you, people are going to say, Andy, is that you? When I get done with you, people are going to say, Joe. He said, when I get done with you, people are going to say, Janet? Wait. When I get done with you, people are going to say, Rashonda? When I get done with you, people are going to say, oh, wait a minute, is that Alexandra? When I get done with you, your name will be different. You will not be recognized when I get done. They thought you were weak, but now they'll call you strong. They thought you was poor, but now they'll call you rich. And now, let the weak say I'm strong. My God, I feel the anointing. Let the poor say I'm rich because of what the Lord has done for us. I'm going to choose the weak things to shame the strong. I'm going to change somebody's name. You won't be called Abram. You'll be called Abraham. Because I'm going to call you what you're about to be, father of many nations. Then in verse 6 is the third thing God promised. He says, I'll make you fruitful. Oh, I speak that over everybody right now. I'll make you fruitful. What you put your hands to do will prosper. That you'll have exponential growth and that stuff will take off. And I speak it over World Overcomers. I speak it over World Overcomers United. I speak it over everybody that's watching, everybody in America, everybody that's in Canada, everybody that's in Africa, everybody that's in every nation in Europe, wherever you may be watching right now, I speak fruitfulness over your life. You will not be barren. You will increase. He says fruitfulness. I'm going to make nations come from you. The fourth thing he says, I'll make kings that will come from you. Kings, my God, kings. Do you know what a king is? My God, a king is someone who has access to wealth and access to money, and somehow deals just happen, and they put their hand on something and it just prospers, and they get involved in the business and it just takes off. Kings. Kings will come from you. My God. We have a tendency to only ask God to bless us with prophets. We all want to birth a preacher. We in the church, we want to birth a preacher so bad. Right now, I've got my sons on a path to being kings. If they're prophets, God will call them. If they're preachers, we will know. If they're priests, we'll find out. But I'm praying for a kingly anointing on them. I'm praying that they'll just find deals and find situations and opportunities, open doors. And I think it's absolutely possible for them to be worshiping kings. I'm speaking over some Davids. One of the challenges that happened in the church world is that we had folk who called everybody in the ministry. We gonna make everybody a pastor. Everybody's not a pastor. Everybody's not a priest. Although we're a royal priesthood, but everybody's not supposed to be in the ministry full time. And there's some of us, God has put something on you for business and the marketplace. And that's a part of the promise. He said, man, kings are going to come out you. Not just camel hair, locust eating prophets. Praise God for that. But there's going to be some wealth that's going to come out of your bloodline. Oh, I speak it over your life. I speak it over my life. He said, kings. Number five, he said, I'm going to establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you. Meaning, he's saying there's going to be some longevity. Give the guys a second, they'll put it up. Longevity. That means this thing's going to last. For all of us that are tired of something being here today and gone tomorrow, getting our hopes all up and excited like this, so I trust this is going to be it. The Lord says, this thing going to last. This is going to be a lasting covenant. This is going to be, matter of fact, this isn't just going to be us. Generations after you, your descendants after you, I'm going to do something so powerful in your life that your babies will feel it. I'm going to do something so powerful in your life that your grandbabies will feel it. I'm going to do something so powerful in your life that your great grandbabies will feel it. He says at the end of verse 7, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. That's the sixth thing. It's God power. To have God himself on your side. To have angels fighting for you. To have supernatural forces working on your behalf. God, let it be. That you'll have God power behind you and God power behind your descendants. That your children will say, I don't know. I had a praying mama. I had a praying grandmama. I had a praying daddy. My daddy was saved. My daddy served. My daddy gave. My daddy tied. I don't know. There's just something on me I can't explain. Supernatural power from on high. God power. And then number 7, he says, and the whole land of Canaan, where you now are an alien, I'll give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I'll be their God. Number 7 is land. Number 7 is property. Number 7 is not church. Church is a part of what makes all this happen. No. Number 7 is land. Number 7 is you own something, and it's everlasting. When we were in Asheville this past week, we did some walking. I think I put it on my Insta story or Instagram story or whatever, and you may have seen some of it. And we walked past this couple, white couple. They were nice, and the woman stopped and said, "Yeah, we own this 30-acre homestead up there. It's been in my family for 6 generations." And I said, "My God, 6 generations." I was with my daughter. I looked at her. I said, "Kayla, do you see what I'm trying to do? This land I bought, I want your great-grandchildren, I want your grandchildren to say, 'Grandmama, Who bought this land? And for you to say, my daddy bought this land, baby. He was crazy. He was a light-skinned. He talked about, he was a living soundbite. He was a complicated man. There was good about him and some stuff about him that wasn't so great. Everybody didn't like him, but he didn't mind that. He spoke his mind and he believed God. He was God's friend. He wasn't perfect, but he was God's friend. And he left this land to me and to you. He took God at his word. And he believed that the blessing of Abraham could come to the Gentiles by faith in Christ. Woo, God. I'm down to 5 minutes. After that, I'm sure Abraham was like, oh, I got a new name. My God, God, you're going to be on my side. You promising me descendants. You telling me great nation. Woo. All right. Shoot. I'm sure that what you're going to ask of me is great. Then in verse 9, God says to Abraham, now, as for you, here's your part. You must keep my covenant. That first one is faithfulness, meaning keep this agreement. And number two, circumcision. And that's it. I wrote them down so I could keep them clear. And I saw them in the scriptures, but I wanted to be able to keep them clear. That God promises seven things. My God, I love it. Seven. God promises seven things in his part of the covenant. But when it comes to us, he's asking for two things. Faithfulness and sacrifice. He's saying, from now on, after you, I want you to be faithful to this. I don't want you wavering. I don't want you looking at nobody else. I don't want you thinking about this one. I want you faithful. And I want you to cut away something that you never take up again. I want you to permanently commit something to me. I want you to feel it. Now, I'm going to do all this stuff. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be your God. I'm going to watch after your descendants. There's going to be favor on you. You're going to have land. You're going to have permanence. But what I require is, number one, you got to be faithful. And number two, you're going to have to give me a piece of what I bless you with. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to be okay about doing the thing that may be tough. Pain can't scare you off this thing. Matter of fact, I want all the boys cut on the eighth day. Because I want them to look down at their most precious part. The part that they most use for pleasure, and remember that it's also meant for sacrifice. I want them to be reminded that in all the joys that they will, I want every man reminded that in all the joys that they will experience, life without sacrifice is not worth living. And you owe me. You owe me. God is saying, you owe me. When you get into your nice house, don't forget the tithe. When you get into your nice house, don't forget that sacrifice. When you get into your situation, when you see the blessings of the Lord, when you trace it, when you look and you can't trace it, and you think, what shall I render? And you think, I don't deserve this, and how did I get this? Don't forget that it was God who gave you the ability to create wealth. And so confirmed his covenant. Your side of the covenant is to be faithful to God. Your side of the covenant is to circumcise, for there to be a cutting away, for there to be a portion dedicated to God. a portion of your time, a portion of your tithe, your tithe, which is a portion of your wealth, your money, your offering, your generosity, a portion of your talent, a portion of your strength. You can't use all your strength for you and keep your covenant with God. You won't keep it. You'll break it. God is saying, all right, I got a side of it now. I got a lot of great stuff I'm promising you. But your side is you got to be faithful to me. And I want you to give me a piece of your life. I want you to give me, I don't want all of your life. I want you to belong to me, but I'm gonna give you your life back, and you got to be willing to lose it, and you'll find it. But what I want you to do is I want you to give me that tenth. I want you to give me that. I want some of your prayer time. I want some worship time. I want some of your voice. I want some of your mouth to say hallelujah. I don't want all of your voice to go towards talking about money. Using some of your persuasive power to not just talk about money all the time, and not just talk about business, and not just talk about shoes, and not just talk about this burger you had, and not just talk about cookies. Oh, help us, God. And not just talk about all this great stuff and, ooh, you win. I want you to take some of that persuasive power and use it for kingdom. I want you to circumcise. I want a permanent commitment from you that you won't keep everything for yourself, that you'll share with me. And in that way, you will have a confirmation of the covenant. It's very interesting. I think that we want the confirmation to be an angel on our shoulder, or we want God to write something on the wall, or I don't know. I guess we want God to blow a breeze past us. The people that I find who are the most insecure about the future that God has for them are people that don't confirm the covenant with their own circumcision. There's something about circumcision that makes you say, oh no, I got skin in this game. Oh, no, 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 God's going to bless me. Oh, no, 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 God's going to make a way for me. Not just because of his grace, but because, well, we have an agreement, and I'm keeping his covenant. Let me pray for you. God, I just pray for all the covenant keepers. I pray, God, that we won't just be eaters, but that we'll be sowers. I'm praying, God, that we won't just be receivers, but that we'll be givers. God, I pray that we won't just be someone that takes, but that, God, we'll be people that give, and that we'll walk according to that covenant in the name of Jesus. I feel the anointing of God right now. Have you given? When was the last time you gave? When was the last time you said, let me give to the work of the kingdom of God? Listen, let me give you an opportunity to give. I don't normally do this on Wednesday night, but let me give you an opportunity to sow. Some of you may have got here later. You've never done it, and you don't understand it. A part of what confirms for you, a part of your confidence comes from your cutting away. And you could just right now, you can text WOE online. WOE online. To 77977. They just threw it on the screens for me. I'm sure they're with me. WOE online to 77977. Push pay will pop up, and you'll be able to sacrifice. You'll be able to do a cutting away. You can give a one-time gift, or you can set up for your tithe to come out of your check perpetually, so you will forever have this circumcision, so that you will know that you are sharing your wealth, your gift, your strength, your power with the kingdom. You'll have confidence in the covenant because you're given to it. Can I get you to give? Can I get you to sow? If you're wondering, do we need you to be generous? We absolutely need you to be generous. Absolutely. If you're thinking, well, I've given my tithes, Pastor Andy, I pay my tithes. Well, I thank you for paying your tithes. Thank you for walking according to the principle. But there's another level, and that is your generosity. Your ability to be generous to give to the work of the kingdom of God. And I'm inviting you to do that. If you're wondering, Pastor Andy, do you need my help? I absolutely need your help. I need your help to reach the world. I need your help for the work that we're doing in Kenya. I need your help for the ministry that we're building here, wherever you may be. I need your help for the ministry that we're building here. And you can give right now. Just WOE online to 77977. One-time registration with Push Pay, and you'll be able to give to the work of the kingdom of God. Come on, let's pray. God, I thank you. Thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to give. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And the entrance of your word sheds light. And we're determined to walk in the light as you're in the light. We have fellowship with one another. Thank you for living so big in us. Thank you for the blessing and the strength and the power. Thank you for everyone watching around the world. Everybody that thinks they're big and bad and all the little ones. God, I pray that you heal bodies and heal pains and heal minds and restore families and strengthen us by your power. Make us to be like you. In Jesus' name, we all said together, amen. So glad you're with us tonight, and we're here on Wednesday nights, and we're here on Sunday mornings. And Sunday morning is service. Wednesday night is Bible study, and we want to see you again. And I trust that you're getting something, gleaning something with me from the Word of God. I'm excited about the journey that we're having together. Never, ever forget. I know I'm saying it every time, but it's powerful. This is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. I'll see you next time.